Hey everybody, the Air Raid Podcast is now sponsored by the American Brewing Company in Edmonds, Washington. They're one of the fastest growing microbreweries in the Northwest, featuring the extremely talented brewmaster Skip Madsen. His breakaway IPA has become their number one bestseller. Stop by and find out why. You will not be disappointed. American Brewing Company. Drink domestic. Buy American.
The French toast.
Did you think I wouldn't find out about your little doo-doo head cootie queen?
Who are you calling a cootie queen, you lint licker?
Pickle, you cumquat!
Overreacting.
No, Bill, overreacting was when I put your convertible into a wood chipper. Stinky McStink face! You hoboken.
Hello and welcome, everyone.
Oh, hey.
This is the Air Raid Podcast, episode 69.
Woo!
In what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. Thank you for joining me. I am your host, Aaron Roden.
You don't want to get mixed up with a guy like me.
Of course, this is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. We've got a lot to talk about today. Holy crap, do we have a great show for you guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. Nancy Guppy will be showing up here to Dining Room Studios here shortly. And we are going to talk with her about her time on Almost Live and, you know, her new show that she has. Current show. I don't know if it's new or not. But it is Art Zone with Nancy Guppy. Apt name, indeed. Okay, hey, so last night I went to a very, very special wedding reception for my good friends Anita and Kevin. Kevin, you may know as Thunder from Stack of Dimes podcast. A lot of cool people there, and it was just a great, beautiful, beautiful setting for a wedding reception. We had a wonderful time. After the reception, we all went over to the Mandarin Gate and just proceeded to get blotto. Just blotto. And have you noticed... This is now an ongoing theme in this show where I'm now hungover every time I record. So that's pretty awesome, right? Yeah, great job, sir.
Oh man.
But I am somewhat under the weather today. But it was a very special night anyway. Because I got to meet a lot of people, which is always wonderful. I always love that, you know. And I got to drink a bunch for free before we went out to the bars. That was great. I also got hit on for the first time in a while. That felt pretty good. That was a nice little ego boost there. I'm not gonna lie. That was pretty rad. Getting hit on was pretty rad. Like, the girl even said that she wanted me to take her home. And she looked very pretty. Anyway, but I resisted. I told her I was married and that I was flattered. And then we went our separate ways. Thank God. But my separate way included making a trip down to Taco Bell at about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. And getting myself some volcano nachos and a grilled chicken burrito, which I remember now looking at the menu where you order from and noticing that it said 1,000 before the volcano nachos. And I didn't know what that meant, and I ordered it as the 1,000 volcano nachos. And I was, like, hoping that it would just be, like, this giant plate of 1,000 chips, of nachos. But, you know, for the smart person, they would realize that now the state of Washington puts the calories or requires the calories to be listed on these menus. And that was the calorie count. 1,000 calories in those freaking nachos. Oh, my God. So needless to say, I was a little bit embarrassed. So, you know, got home and sat in my car, in my garage, eating this shameful, shameful pile of Taco Bell. And feeling great. I did not feel good, which was obvious. It's obvious, right? I don't feel good right now. Oh, God. Anyway, we've got a great show for you, though. We've got a great show. We're going to talk with Nancy Guppy. You guys, does anybody out there remember that show, Almost Live? I used to be obsessed with that show. If you're not from the Northwest, you may not know what I'm talking about, but I would urge you to go and check it out. You can find clips of it on YouTube and everything like that, and there's a ton of stuff. Let's see. What else were we gonna hit on here before? Oh, we do have let's get to this first. We've got a Google voicemail a couple weeks ago from listener Brian down in Tacoma. He's talking about zombies a little bit and trying to find out when we are going to start making some merchandise for the show. And we have been getting quite a few little emails about, you know, when we're going to have shirts or do we have bumper stickers or anything like that. A couple people have requested posters. And you know what? All that costs money. And so I'm still trying to decide about, because we are, you know, designing some stuff to be made, and we really appreciate everybody emailing us and wanting this stuff. But we need to figure out how much of it we need to make, because it is quite costly to make this stuff and get it out, and so we need to be sure, you know, how much we can spend on this stuff and then go from there. So just to reiterate, we are making this stuff and it's going to come soon. Let's play this. Let's play this voicemail from a listener Brian down in Tacoma. Here we go.
Well, sir, this is Brian, and I'm calling because with all the voting I've done and did, because I think the voting ended, I just felt like I deserved something, whether it be an Air Raid for Change t-shirt, one of those pictures of you painted in two different colors, poster or something, man. But another thing, we had a little interaction on Facebook regarding zombies and me being all dark meat and whatnot, and I've been thinking about that since I started watching The Walking Dead. Now, with all the weed I've smoked,
okay, so that sounded a little bit racist, but I promise you it wasn't racist at all. It did not. We were just speaking about on race lines about what kind of meat zombies would prefer, whether it be white meat or dark meat, like Mr. Brian Dennis. So we'll continue this here.
And I've smoked a lot constantly. I'm wondering if I've basically turned myself into an edible, and any zombie that takes a chunk out of me is going to be stoned for a couple days. Now, roll that around in there and see if you can get back to me with an answer. And again, I'm pretty sure I can eat you right now.
Well, thank you, Brian Dennis, for sending us that wonderful message. You can also do that as well by calling our drunk dial line at 609-232-BOOM. That's 609-232-BOOM. And leave us a message. Tell us what you think about the show. Also, I got to meet a listener this weekend who recognized me by my voice, which was I think the first time that has happened. And that was awesome. It was great. It was great to meet you. Thank you very much for listening to the show. Okay. So just to put this out there, we still need to make a little plug here, right? we still need to make a little plug. First, for our sponsors, American Brewing Company up in Edmonds, Washington. Great, great beer. Maybe I should do a little hair of the dog thing right now because my head is like splitting open. It is literally splitting open, people. Does not feel good. But if I have some of this American Brewing Company beer, like the American Blonde, my personal favorite, I will feel better. And that's kind of a terrible spot. Maybe I'm gonna have to. I don't know. They're not gonna listen to this anyway, so it doesn't matter. American Brewing Company. Great beer. Go and check it out. You will not be disappointed. I promise you. Promise you. And you can go to their website at like AmericanBrewing.com and check them out. Check out where you can get them and stuff. Another thing, the iTunes. You got to go to iTunes. Leave us a review. Listener Steven in New York just left a beautiful review, but I don't have it called up, so maybe we'll read that next week or something. It really helps. It really helps in the long run if you guys go to the Noisebeam page, or not Noisebeam, iTunes, and give us a star rating. Leave us a short review. You know, it doesn't have to be very long. It only takes a couple seconds, but it does really help us out in the long run. Gets our rankings up there, and also makes it easier to continue to get good guests on the show. So, anyway, go do that right now, please. God, I totally forgot what I was going to say. I had something in my head that, and this goes back to episode 68 with the Grapes of Rad. We talked about this at length because I always have these good ideas about what I'm going to say, and then I totally forget to say it, and it sucks. So, without further ado, we're going to... Damn it, the Air Raid Podcast. It sucks. Fuck. Episode 69. Can you believe that? That's good stuff right there. Anyway, all right, we're featuring music today by Macklemore, local hip hop artist here in Seattle. This guy, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, fantastic music, you guys. This song is called The Town, and you can find it on their MySpace page or their Facebook page. We'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast and our special guest on episode 69, Nancy Guppies. All right, we'll see you guys in just a moment. Our music, our movement, the history lives to us. I write to the beat and look like you play the guitar strings. Despite the drama, there's respect to camaraderie. Every time one of my friends is mentioned in my philosophy, it's a rite of passage. I'm not trying to be corny. I got love for sport and life. Alpha P, Maslana, Henri. Every time somebody steps out on the road, they bring a little Northwest soul with them. Amen. All right then, just so you know, I try to carry that every time that I rock a show. So turn my sound up, ricochet off our mountain. It's good medicine that she seldom would have been proud of. This is our city, town, pride, heart, blood, sweat, tears, I-5, north, south, side, vibe, live. Ride down these city blocks, and never will we stop. They're trying to shut down the clubs that my city rocks. Now, Mr. Mayor, why would you enforce an ordinance? Music could save lives. These kids out here are supporting it. And through the art form, we've learned the importance of community, truth to the youth so they know what's up, yeah. And as a public school student, I learned from my teachers but became through my music. Take that away, that's vital. 14 fathoms deep, do the math, tribal. My greatest teachers, be self-inviter. Words there was my mayor and things have changed, but I carry the torch and what I do with that flame is lit every time that I step on the stage. The skyline is etched in my veins, you can never put that out. No matter how hard it rains, Northwest, making you feel the vibes. Check how Seattle do. Come to my side. I mean, I like how y'all do, baby. We on to put it down for the tab. With music, making you feel the vibes. Check how Seattle do. Come to my side. When my peeps know my crew, bring the flame. Put it down for the tab. Wearing that Seattle blue. Ash, when you put in
doing a show. And watch the people seeping in between the creases in the doors. Hitting a melody or sneaking in cause they're broke. Now leaving in between sets because I'm needing the smoke. The reason being whatever. The scene from Beacon to Everett is a need of less ego when we kick it. Alright, I get on stage, style, share my whole life. Trying to reach them at the bar where they're drinking Miller Lite. But the kids in the front, they bring out the passion, dude. Make noise throughout the show, and not only when we ask them to. I watch older cats shaded in the back, hands clasped. Forgot when they weren't too cool to be a fan. Damn, hating at the concert. You don't remember Rock Candy watching Hyro or wilding out to Alcoholics. I know it's not the same, it never will be. But my city's filthy. And we've been truly dope since Supreme was up on Broadway in the Dookie Rope. Me mugging this a mix a lot video. Back when Scene was rocking house parties on the floor. JMG sitting spinning the paradox. Back when Mark introduced Gio to Sobs. So much has changed here, so much is not. I was just a kid hoping I could earn my spot. Trying to get some props. Meet a promoter who give me a shot to let me get up on stage and get the crowd to rock. Read a page out my notebook. What I thought would be respected, they would connect with it. Now, looking over the city's the only thing that keeps me calm. Scattered thoughts jotted down by this pen in my palm. It's like my city stands still, the world looks on. If I could only catch it.
All right, we are back. That was The Town by Macklemore. And joining me in Dining Room Studios on this beautiful Saturday afternoon, Miss Nancy Guppy, or Mrs. Nancy Guppy.
You can call me Mrs.
Yeah.
I'll go with Mrs. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Thank you for coming on the show.
I'm delighted to be here, yeah. And I'm loving the lead in here with Mr. Macklemore.
Isn't this good?
Yeah, well, I adore him.
Fantastic.
Great music and a great person. Even better.
How old is he?
He's 80. Isn't that weird?
He looks like he might be 19. Maybe 21?
I think he's mid...
He looks pretty young.
He's young, but I think he's mid-20s.
Is he? Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, gone through a lot, though, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a story to tell.
Yeah, well, I've been trying to get him on the show for a while now, and I found that especially, you know...
Come on, Ben, you got to do it.
Yeah, dude.
Dude.
But you do the same thing, but you're on television. You have a show called Art Zone with Nancy Guppy
that
on the
is
Seattle
right.
channel,
mm-hmm.
Which I really enjoy, and we've had... You and I have had some crossover.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, I wanted to get you on the show and ask you if we should be enemies.
Oh, well.
Should we?
Well, just define enemies. Okay. What does that mean? Should I take you down? Yes. Yeah. Should I dominate?
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I don't think of that as a negative.
No, totally not a negative.
Should I cut you? I might.
It's happened before.
It has happened before.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you survived.
I'm not afraid. Mm-mm. No.
I hate you, though.
Right, right. Well, I hate you, too.
Right.
And thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't mean, and it's not a bad, I don't mean that in a mean way.
No, not at all. Mm-mm. Not at all.
Nope.
You said it with a smile on your face. Indeed. And a twinkle in your eye.
Yep, yeah. And anger in my heart.
You look like you could be a very angry woman.
Oh, that's man. I'll tell you, I can tap anger. In fact, when I was on Almost Live sketch comedy show, and we're going to talk about
it.
One time, our executive producer, his name was Bill Stanton, great guy.
Mm-hmm.
He basically, might have been like a my annual review, or I don't know what it was, but he basically said something to the effect of, you know, you can tap anger really easily. You might kind of want to work on other aspects of characters you can do. And he was so right. I mean, that is something I can go to in a heartbeat. Like
Yeah. Do you have angry tendencies?
I used to be more volatile.
Yeah.
And mostly within close relationships. I mean, the person the most of it was my husband.
Yeah, yeah.
Joe. Fabulous, angelic Joe. I would just kind of like verbally go off, you know, and I'm not proud of that. Nowadays, I just kind of bounce back quicker, or I can see the silliness of it all quicker. Or I can see like, oh, Nancy, please shut up. I can catch myself more. So
yeah.
I think over just because I'm now so dang old, you know, I've kind of mellowed. So, I think anger has always been kind of a go-to for me.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It's got. I mean, it seems like it should get better with age.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
You start, like you said, you start noticing what you're doing, or you take a step back and say, God, quit being a moron.
Yeah.
Like, this
just
is
don't.
Not even worth it.
Right.
Yeah. Because I have...
Are you an
angry guy? I have some angry patches, and I will like, what? I never hit anything,
yeah, okay.
But I do get very angry and I raise my voice.
Yes.
And I start just like
raising
I turn
it, like,
into
to, like screeching piercing levels?
No, not oh. like not like screaming.
Yeah.
But I do I become like Tourette's.
Oh.
So I will just start like yelling like the F word.
Yes.
You know,
oh, yeah.
over and over and over again.
That's very, it can
it's
really
cathartic.
It's very cathartic.
Right?
You know, it yeah. totally is. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But the other day I got kind of pissed off and I took a pillow and just started smashing my mattress with it. Is that?
Well, that, I think that's
you know,
somewhat healthy.
It's
I mean,
safe,
you,
right?
It's safe.
It's
you're, get,
safe.
You're getting the yayas
padded,
out, as the Rolling Stones would say.
Get, yeah,
you're
yeah.
getting. I mean, but seriously, there's anger is perfectly fine.
Right.
You know,
right.
it's just how.
As long as you don't take it out on somebody
right,
else. Or
exactly,
like that,
right, exactly. Or hopefully yeah. not hurt yourself. But it's like,
right.
how, yeah, you got to figure out. It's usually what's triggering it. That's always the key. And
right.
And
right.
often underneath anger, let's do a little psychoanalysis.
Yeah, yeah, let's do this.
Is fear.
Let's go there.
It's fear.
Fear.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Anger. Yeah, absolutely. I can tell you're shaking right now.
Well, now, yeah,
oh,
no? right,
oh, I
right.
can see you're starting to get angry.
I'm starting to, I'm very angry because I'm afraid of you. That's what's going on here.
Well, you have a good reason to. I just made a big sound. I took my glass and I went bong.
Yeah, see, it's we
is
have
not a soundproof booth.
No, this is not a soundproof booth.
Oh,
you can probably tell by the echo in the dining room here.
But I like it, and I want to acknowledge that you've done a beautiful job in the renovation of your condo.
It looks pretty good,
it's
huh?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh my
yeah.
gosh, you're making a lot of money on this podcast.
You're right.
You're really raking it in.
Yeah, it's just hand and fist. Every day, I there's a box of money that
yes,
shows up on the doorstep.
Oh, wow, that must be really nice.
It's pretty rad. It's pretty rad. So let's move away from talking about anger issues.
Okay.
A little bit. Let's talk about your past and how you got started.
My
in
happy past.
Television.
Yeah. Well, it's a fascinating story.
Is it?
Well. No. Okay, here's what happened. I have been a late bloomer all my life.
Uh-huh.
And I never knew what I wanted to do when I was
yeah.
in school.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Queen Anne High School, and I went to the UW.
Oh, okay.
Graduated
okay.
from the UW. Only because I could get in there, and I didn't have any, like, you know, nowadays there's no way I would get into the UW.
Right.
It's way too hard, you know, you have to actually have a grade point that's, I don't know, decent.
Yeah,
But, I mean, I did well enough where I could get in, and I, you know, kind of did my 4 years, and I just did, I had no direction. So when I got out of college, I was working at Nordstrom in the corporate credit side, like doing opening new accounts and this
okay.
kind of thing.
So you didn't go to you didn't study acting?
No, not at all.
In
I mean,
college?
Didn't even occur to me. I mean, again, like I'm telling you, I took classes that got me out that I got out early enough, especially during the springtime, so I could
right,
lay
right.
in the sun. In the afternoon.
Right.
That was really kind of the goal of my college career. Like,
right.
I don't want to study too hard, and can I lay in the sun? You know,
planning your classes around your ultimate Frisbee team.
Absolutely,
basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
yeah. So I got out of, you know, I'm doing the corporate credit thing at Nordstrom,
mm-hmm.
really hating it, but not having any idea what to do. And then for whatever reason, I decided to take an acting class at Seattle Central Community College up
uh-huh.
on Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
And I was living right down the street from it in a little studio apartment for like $225 a month. This was back in the other century, right?
Yeah, right, right.
And so I started taking this acting class, and I cut back my hours at Nordstrom just to like 30 hours a week. And that was a pivotal point. Everything turned on that.
Really?
Not that I knew.
Did
it was
just kind of flip a switch in your head?
Yeah.
Like, I love this?
Well, it was like it flipped a switch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like, okay, this is interesting. This is truly kind of, there's kind of a passion I felt for it.
Right, right.
But at the same time, I think as importantly, it was who I met at that time. I met two people who are, one of them passed away very sadly, a great friend of mine. Her name was Rachel. And we were in the same acting class, intro to acting. But there's
uh-huh.
other these acting people. This is like mid-80s.
Right.
And I just kind of got in with these people that like, oh, maybe these are my people.
Yeah.
And
was
then
it a pretty small group back
very
then, too?
Very small group. Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't know the scene that well. I mean, I wasn't involved in like the Seattle Rep or Empty Space
right,
or anything
right.
like that. Right.
Yeah,
this is Seattle Central Community College. And then I got into Fringe Theater out of that.
Uh-huh.
But it was just like this world I didn't know when I was, before that point, I was unaware of the art scene. And it was just kind of like finding this little niche that slowly grew. It wasn't as if, oh, I'm really great. I wasn't great. But I had, I guess, enough talent or enough interest in pursuing it. And then I met my husband, Joe, or my, not at the time, it wasn't my husband, but I met the guy who I ended up marrying. And he was involved in a theater group called Off the Wall Players. And they were a really great theatrical improv group in town. I'd seen them perform. And then when I met him, I recognized who he was. It was like, you're a star. At that time, when we started dating, he was just getting involved with Almost Live.
Okay.
The King TV.
Now, is that when Almost Live was a talk show?
Yeah, it was Sunday nights, 6 o'clock with Ross Schaefer, kind of the Cielo version of the Leno show. Are you going to burp?
Yeah, yeah, I'm
Go
sorry.
Ahead. I don't
I'm
think
very,
you should,
like, okay.
Honey, don't hide it.
Yeah.
I just farted.
On Facebook, I said that I was very excited. I was going to try not to be hungover.
Oh, are you hungry?
I'm very
Are you serious?
Right now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You mentioned that. Well, what did you drink?
Well, a lot of things.
I just had one drink last night. I had vodka. My favorite right now is vodka with a little limeade and some tonic. So essentially it's kind of like a gimlet / vodka and tonic.
That sounds pretty good.
It was really good.
I could go for one of those right now.
You know what? Actually, I could. Do you have a bar?
Oh, I do. I do.
Well, do you really
want... You know what?
What?
At the break... We'll make a drink.
We'll have a drink. Okay. That's great. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're asking me, before we talked about your drunken life and the alcoholic tendencies you have. Well, you are
an
alcoholic, clearly.
Right. And I'm an angry
there's
alcoholic,
there's,
apparently,
on
too.
Aurora, there's the Fremont Fellowship. It's an AA thing.
I know,
which,
yeah.
I think
yeah.
you might want to check it out.
It's just right down the street.
Just right down the street. Very convenient for someone who's going to stumble around.
Right.
Yes.
So you're talking about, you met your husband. Your husband was
getting involved with Almost Live. Ross Schaefer was the host. It
was
on Sundays, an hour long. Mm-hmm. Nothing I would have ever been aware of, honestly. I wouldn't have known what it was. And so he started doing stuff, and they were kind of doing more of taped comedy pieces and character pieces. And so as he got involved, they didn't have any women on staff. It wasn't a big staff, and there were certainly no women. Mm-hmm. So on occasion, he would call me and say, hey, can you get off work on Thursday? And we have a bit we're doing, and we need you to play Ross's wife or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'd get off work and lie. I have a dentist appointment or something, and I'd go and do that.
I got to go to the doctor.
I got to the doctor
again.
Yeah, at 2 on Thursdays. And so that's how that started.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I had, again, this is what's so interesting. I had no design on TV or sketch comedy of any sort, but it just kind of, so I feel like I was in the right place at the right time. That's how I feel like this all happened. And then I showed enough talent, which was, you know, about, a half an inch of it, and drive, I suppose, that I just kind of kept pursuing it. And then Ross, actually, at the end of, what year was it, 87, I think, or 86, he took off, he got hired by, to fill in or take over Joan Rivers' show down in L.A.
Oh, really?
She had a talk show, and it didn't do well, and they pulled him in, and so he left the show, and that's why then John Keister, the bald guy, who everyone knows of as the host of Almost Live, who's just really a tremendous talent, he stepped in, because he'd already been doing stuff on the show, he stepped in as the host.
Yeah.
And that's when I got hired, Joe was already on staff, I got hired as a writer performer for a year.
And how long did, because I, up until like yesterday, I had always thought Almost Live was just the sketch show.
That's
and then
it
I found
popular.
This I found this clip of John Keister sitting at a desk, and Jerry Seinfeld was on the show.
Yeah. Was it a horrible, scary, embarrassing, horrible interview?
Yes.
Oh yeah,
it was
terrible.
Was terrible.
So this is what happened, is that when Ross left the show, they, you know, there was no time to revamp it at that point.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So John, they did a little search, search for a host, and they looked around, and then they ended up hiring John. Thank goodness. But John just stepped into what Ross had already developed.
Right,
and Ross was quite good at that. Whether you liked him or not, Ross had a certain presence about him in that way. So John's suddenly wearing suits and sitting at a desk and having to interview, and he's not a good interviewer.
Yeah.
He's a good person to be interviewed, because you should interview him.
I've been thinking about having him on the show.
He's great. He's very funny. He's super smart. And you should. I'll talk to him. John, you should do this. So, but he was, it was a disaster.
Right.
It was a disasterville
I couldn't tell if it was a joke.
Nope. Well, it was not meant to be a joke, but it was a joke. Yeah, it was awful.
But and then so how long before they switched it over to just strictly sketch?
Well, so that was in 88 to 89. That was John's first.
Okay.
So it's fall to the spring was the
89. Right.
At the end of spring of 89, Joe and I, Joe got hired and as a performer for Not Necessarily the News on the HBO show, which was a sketch comedy show. I don't know if you remember. Do you remember that
It sounds familiar.
Vaguely familiar.
Yeah.
So he was hired for that on air. We were hired as a writing team, so we left and we went down to Los Angeles. So that was our big, and Joe always wanted to go try and make it in the big time. So,
right.
Quote, big time. So we went down to LA and we left the show. So now John is at the end of the season. It's not been a good season. There's like Bill Nye, Ed Wyatt, a couple other writers on the staff. And I think it was close to being canceled. Very close to being canceled.
Yeah.
That summer, we were gone, so we're not in it anymore. But that summer, John convinced the sales staff at King, could we do like 3 half-hour straight sketch shows that would run right before SNL? Because SNL, during the summer, is on break, right? They're in reruns.
Yeah.
So NBC agreed to it, much to their chagrin later, I think. And those 3 late night straight sketch things ran, I think, in half hours in August, and they sold enough advertising. And the owners of the station at that time, Dorothy the Bullet family, it was a privately owned thing. I think she was kind of like, fine, let them do it. So they let them keep the slot, that time slot. So when they went into the fall, now the format was completely different. Now it was late night, 11:30 to 12. Pushing SNL half an hour or by half an hour, and that's when the show really found its legs. I mean, it didn't become hilarious necessarily overnight,
but
it found its rhythm, and that was totally John's deal. I mean, so he found his
well, voice. And then they kind of started building their cast, and that's characters. When you came in, right?
Right. So we were in LA for 3 years. We came back. Joe wasn't interested in being back involved with TV stuff, but I was, because I felt like, now I'm ready to really try to do something here.
Yeah.
So then I got back involved in 92 and then stayed with it through the end of the run.
Cool.
They went off the air.
Cool. Yeah. And I had no idea that it had been on the air for so long.
I know. It went on. We were on, I think, for 15 years maybe or something like that.
Wow.
And I know. I mean,
that's really awesome.
It's awesome. And what's really awesome is that it would never happen today because it didn't do well enough. They would just go, we got to pull that baby right now. It's not making any money.
Yeah. Or it's too Seattle-centric.
Or whatever. Like, but I think it's money. I mean, really, that would be the driver. Like, this is not making enough money for the cost of what it is to make it, which couldn't have been that much money, I don't think.
Right.
So, but in those days, there was just more no offense, people in TV, but there was more vision from the leadership, like making stuff local, trying to serve in a way that's not like now. It's just it's a different animal now. It's stockbrokers making the stockbrokers happy, right? I mean,
or
the stockholders, not brokers, stock, the people who hold the stock, right?
And there's so much turnover now, too, with shows,
cable and everything else took over.
Fucking time. I mean, they're just these Whitney or whatever, this new sitcom that's on.
I don't even know who that is.
I don't even care. You know, it's like it looks terrible.
I go through People magazine because I do like it.
Right.
There's so many people I do not know who that is. And obviously they're a star, a starlet, whatever they're called.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Celebutante.
Celebutante.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's me. I'm such a celebutante.
All right. Well, hey, let's go to our second musical break here. We are featuring songs by Macklemore throughout this episode 69. Let's play Irish Celebration.
Nice.
By Macklemore. And we will be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast with Nancy Guppy.
And a drink.
Special guest Nancy Guppy. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
I'm an Irishman. Leathered, weathered Irish skin. Beard orange as the sunset of the flag. In the night sky we fight and pride for the life we fight to live. History I write with it. Spit it with the dialect. And this is a celebration, of course. The great white orange.
And when they pulled up on that shore, first generation born toasted those that made it on a boat to New York. And when the English came, the colonizer came, they filled up bottles of gasoline, turned them into balls of flames, and hurled them to protect what's ours. I'll touch these lucky charms, a bunch of Irish screaming, fuck the London Guard. I'm kidding, not to send London this bloody raw, but go against the Irish and get a bloody jaw. Preach nonviolence, but remind us of the scars and the fires. So put a pine up, everybody sing a song. We put our glass to the sky and lift up and live tonight, cause you can't take it with ya. So raise a pint for the people that aren't with us and live tonight, cause you can't take it with ya. We put our glass to the sky and lift up and live tonight, cause you can't take it with ya. So raise a pint for the people that aren't with us and live tonight, cause you can't take it with ya. And from New England to New Brunswick, Galway to Dublin, a rebellious nation of freckle-faced hustlers, heart, blue-collar workers and family, my heritage, proud to be a Haggerty. Now, with whiskey in our veins, claiming we're the bravest men, I drank Old Crow, but pretended it was Jameson. Dad sipped Guinness, I sipped Old English, till he sat me down at 16 and said, boy, this is what a beer is. I put down the drink, I couldn't drink like a gentleman. That doesn't mean I can't make a drinking song for the rest of them. Challenge us in football, yeah, we might lose, but don't put us next to a bar stool. We take the history, scripted in song, light the torch, then you pass it on. That's right, I said lineage through the rhythm. We script it from the palm and we give it till Ireland is on. Bottoms up. We put our glass to the sky and lift up and live tonight, cause you can't take it with ya. So raise a pint for the people that aren't with us and live tonight, cause you can't take it with ya. We put our glass to the sky.
Hey,
I'm making excuses.
All right.
I just got called slow by Nancy Guppy.
And I meant it in a loving way.
We are back, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today, episode 69 with Nancy Guppy.
Should we clink?
Should we clink glasses here?
As promised,
yeah.
We're having a little...
A little drink.
A little drink.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
You make
that
a good one.
That is not a lie.
Uh-oh. We're totally having one.
Mm-hmm.
It's delicious. Love
yeah.
it.
A pint full of straight vodka.
Yep.
That's
the
what
way to do it.
That's what Nancy's
that's
drinking.
That's what you
here.
Do. That's how I roll.
Yeah, she was like, well, it's free.
And it looks like it was kind of a cheap brand, I think.
Yeah. Three-star?
Yeah,
three-star.
A little bit like the lowest shelf in the liquor store.
Right,
that, you
right.
You know, it's like, oh, yeah. The crap.
When a gallon of vodka costs $5,
yeah.
You know you're,
yeah.
you're in for trouble.
Yes, yes. Yeah, you need to take a long look in the mirror.
Right, right. It tastes like potatoes. So welcome back, everybody. When we left off, we were talking with Nancy a little bit about how you got started with Almost Live,
yep.
And how that thing got rolling. So how long were you on the show?
I was on the show for, let's see, a year in the 80s. Then we moved away to LA, came back.
Right.
So from 92 to when we went off the air, and I think we went off the air making new shows in 1999. I can never remember if it was 99 or 2000. So
I think
about
it was 99.
Okay. So it was
yeah.
like seven
yeah.
or 8 years,
yeah.
something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, wow. That's
I know.
That's a long career. And the show was on for, you
like
were saying, like 15?
15 years, which is yeah. astonishing, isn't
yeah.
it? To be able to do what we, well, I'll just speak for myself. For me to get to do what I got to do,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to write, and you got to perform, and you got to produce, and you got to sit with the editor, and you got to be in post-production.
Yeah.
So the gamut of how much control each of us had working on the show, on the product was really fun. I mean, what turned out to be the best part for me was the writing.
Yeah.
That's what I really loved. I mean, I love yeah. doing certain parts and acting certain things, but the writing, because I'm a control freak and I
right.
loved crafting things just so,
yeah.
you know, and
yeah.
In comedy and sketch, it is all about that. I mean, hopefully, you know, the actor is going to bring another level of comedic qualities to it that isn't in the writing or is going to elevate the writing. But it's really about specificity. And so that was really fun to do and to find ways to kind of comment on the world, to comment about my own life, my own, you know, kind of relational stuff in a funny way. I just find that to be
yeah.
really satisfying.
It started to, like, I would watch it. religiously mm-hmm. on Saturdays mm-hmm. before SNL.
Right.
And I was a bit younger. So
you could be my son.
I could be.
I think you could be. Oh, you are, because I did give someone up.
Yeah, thanks for putting me up for adoption.
You have your father's
Mom.
Neck. I don't know what that means. Yeah, anyway, so you watched
so,
it.
So, yeah, I used to watch that show, used to love it, and it became kind of a ritual for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
yep.
you sit down, you watch Almost Live,
yep.
come on before SNL.
Right.
You know, and it was just a great show because it was very Washington kind of centric, Seattle area, greater Seattle area centric.
Right.
A lot of jokes about Renton.
Yep. Ballard, which, Kent, Linwood.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was the real kind of the hook of the show, I think.
Right.
It wasn't necessarily my favorite kind of material, but that's why the show, I think, was successful, because it was so specific. It wasn't just generic evergreen comedy.
Right, right.
You know, hopefully there was other things that also were a little broader, but that people felt like they knew it. Like, oh, I know that. Oh,
yeah,
I know those
yeah.
people.
Well,
I know that area.
It played on the Seattle stereotypes.
Absolutely.
You know?
And people
and
liked that.
Especially when the grunge era started.
Oh, that
you guys
crazy grunge era.
Really hit the nail on the head with that one.
I know.
The lame list.
Oh, is that one of the greatest bits
love
ever?
That. Yeah.
And the
yeah.
fact that like Kim Thiele was in that and all these
right,
like
right.
long haired, you know, metalheads yeah. and stuff. Oh man, that was just great.
I met him on the street in Capitol Hill the night that Barack Obama was elected. And he walked up. I was wasted.
Oh, what a surprise.
I know. Oh, God damn it. I'm always drunk.
Yeah.
This is not good.
No.
We're getting down to the core of who I am.
This is an intervention, by the way. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, right.
But don't worry. It'll happen when it's supposed to happen.
Is the host of that show about to walk through the door?
That's not your concern.
We got a lot of people here.
Yeah. Well, no, just keep going. Yeah.
So
he was there.
He had just been elected. There's, you know, parties going on all over the place. And this big, tall dude.
With long hair.
No, he did not have long hair.
Oh, it's short.
Yeah, he cut it all off.
Feathered?
It's in a beanie or something.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But he's walking down the street, and he stops me, and he says, "Can I shake your hand right now?" Oh. And I shook this guy's hand. I look up, and I was like, "Oh, my God, that's the guitar player for Soundgarden."
Soundgarden.
16-year-old Aaron is freaking out right now.
Oh,
you know?
Gosh.
And
wow.
Yeah, he was, and I was like, he kept on walking. He, you know, congratulations on, you know, electing the first black president and everything like
yeah.
that. He was very yeah. happy. And he walked off.
Did you throw
off,
up on him?
And
good.
I wanted to. just to say that I did,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I threw up on Kim Thiele.
Right. I'm that guy.
I am that guy.
Yeah, yeah. But he started walking away, and I was like, "Are you Kim?" He said, "Yeah." I was like, "Nice to meet you, man."
Sweet.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's Kim Thiele brush with.
That's a brush with Kim Thiele.
Brush with Kim
Thiele. That should be a whole bit. Just an endless brush with Kim. Everyone's brush with Kim Thiele. I'd love to have a brush with Kim Thiele. I think he's so cool.
Yeah.
I love Soundgarden.
Yeah. Well, now they're touring again, right?
They are. They're back doing. I didn't get to see them. They were at the Showbox, I think.
Right.
A while ago.
Yeah. And now City Arts is going on.
Oh, it is. I've been doing some city arts.
Have you been? Have you been going to some of this stuff?
I have. I went to. Oh, I did a celebrity karaoke thing. Quote unquote celebrity.
Oh God, are you into?
I'm not
karaoke.
Into it, but I did it because I was asked to do it. And
my
husband and I, he did it with me, Joe, and I did Pat Benatar's "Hit Me with Your Best Shot."
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's not a bad one.
Yeah,
and Joe
yeah.
was my man. He was pretending to be my manager, and then he did a great air guitar solo.
Nice.
So it's just, you know, I mean, karaoke is all about massive commitment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do not be a wimp about it, you know. Just
well, yeah, you can't, and because nobody gives a shit.
Nobody cares. But if you stand there kind of wimpy and kind of like insecure, it's really
boring.
Right,
right.
So just
give it
all you got, even if it's really not good.
Everybody's there to not sing well.
Right, right. And if you do sing well, great. I have a friend who can do Jeremy. Pearl Jam. Her name's Branjan Davis. She's the editor of, or arts and culture editor of Seattle Magazine.
Gotcha.
She's a great, great singer, and she kicks that song.
Really? Have you heard that? Have you heard that that recording of the dude in, like, I think it was, where was it? South America somewhere. It's a game show.
Yeah.
Where it's like a karaoke game show.
And he did that song?
And he did that. Well, he did a Pearl Jam song, and he sounded exactly like Eddie Vedder. It was uncanny.
Really?
You got to check this out.
I will. You can give me the link.
Yeah.
I love, that's another, I never met Eddie Vedder. Big fan.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I imagine you've met Mike McCready, right?
I met Mike McCready, and he's a great guy, super nice guy. Met Stone Gossard, very nice guy.
Yeah.
And then Nirvana people. What's his face? Dave Grohl. He did a number of things on Almost Live with us.
That's right.
I did this great bit. I had an ongoing bit I did on Almost Live. It called Me. I was a talk show host. Yeah. The show was called Me, and that was just kind of my character name.
Right.
So, in fact, I came up with the bit because I was driving to work one day, and I was pissed because someone in front of me was going too slow. But the fact of the matter was I was late for work. They were just going the speed limit. I wanted to blame them. So I started singing this little tune in my head, which ended up becoming the little jingle for this little sketch show that I called Me. Anyway, so one of my guests one time was Dave Grohl. He came on as himself, and the basic premise of the bit was that I would always correct people who were coming in to talk about what they knew, but then I would say, "Well, no, that's incorrect."
And in this case,
I ended up breaking his guitar.
Oh, nice!
He was really good. He was very funny, very good.
Yeah.
He had a great sense of humor.
And so nice guy, huh?
Really nice guy. Super nice guy. Very down to earth. Yeah.
Let's see, and you worked with Joel McHale as well,
mm-hmm.
who has gone on to do
Joel McHale's are really the star. Yeah, we can all go. We knew him.
We knew him when.
Joel started as an intern. This was so fascinating.
He came.
Mm-hmm, he was at the U, and he was an intern with us. And he was one of those great interns. He was just automatically funny, but he also just did what he was supposed to do. He didn't come on and go basically the first day say, "I really want to write and I want to be." You know, I want trying to make you want to cast him. I mean, you know when people, it's like you just want to say, just you know, clean the toilet. Don't tell me you want to run the business,
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Not because you want to be a jerk, but it's just like, eh. But he just kind of had this nice way about him. He was a very good intern, and he was funny. And so he developed over time, and he started writing little bits. And there was some point when he and I were talking, and I said, "Joel, I'm going to make you a star." And I didn't mean that literally, but I what I meant was we're gonna get you on the air.
You are going
to have an opportunity.
Yeah.
And he of course was great.
Yeah.
And then he went back and got his degree at the U in acting, and then again came back to us, and then he went down to LA and he's made it.
Yeah. He's done super well.
Very funny. Very funny.
Yeah.
And he's making lots of money, and gets lots of free things, and he loves that. He gets lots of free clothes.
You still stay in touch with him?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does he still have family up here then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. His wife, Sarah, is from up here as well. And so they come up a lot. I don't see them all the time at all, but I certainly keep in touch with them.
Are you guys, has the Almost Live group kind of stayed tight-knit?
Yes and no. I mean, we don't see each other like a lot. Like, let's all get together and reminisce.
Right.
But I think there's really good vibes with everybody.
Yeah.
But
no bad blood.
No bad blood. Mm-mm, no.
That's too
no
bad.
I know. So I'd have better stories for you.
Yeah.
But it was always an even playing field. That's one thing I think, and I credit Keister and Bill Stainton. Like I said, the executive director.
John
Keister. They wanted people to do well. They weren't egomaniacs, you know. I mean, it wasn't about like it's the John Show and it's only the John Show or Bill trying to always put his stamp on, you know, this is what the comedy has to be. They really knew how to kind of run the show. It was, you know, it was fairly dysfunctional at the same time. I mean, there's all these weird personalities, but in a good way.
Like you hear stories about SNL and things like that where, you know, these big sketch shows where people are not working well together.
Yeah.
And things like that. I mean, you'd think that if you can get everybody kind of to at least be friends, be work friends,
mm-hmm.
and kosher to each other,
mm-hmm.
you know, get them to work well together, then...
You mean Jewish to each other?
Kosher?
What do you mean by that?
I don't know.
That seems anti-Semitic.
I am very hungover, okay?
That's right. Did you,
have I told you that
you
yet?
Did you mention that yet?
Jesus.
No, but I don't mean... Like, basically, treat each other with respect.
Right, then the show is going to go much...
And I think that, and part of it is with our show, with Almost Live, I mean, we didn't have the writing staff and the performing staff.
You guys
and
the did costume all the writing.
Staff. And, oh, my gosh, we did the writer. People on air wrote the show. We wrote and we performed it. So we were just, the money wasn't there. Mm-hmm. I mean, we made decent money because we were hired by, we were employees of King. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whatever I made was enough. It wasn't tons, but it was enough.
Yeah.
But so there, it was just a, such a different animal than like LA or New York. I mean, the big, you know, huge shows,
right,
national
right.
shows. It was, yeah. But yeah, I think that we got along well, and I think it came across.
Yeah.
I think overall it came across. I mean, of course there was competition. Of course, you know, you're in a pitch meeting and you're pitching your stuff and you're
right. You want your sketch
oh,
on.
Hey,
there.
Oh, hey, you want your yeah, stuff yeah. to get the laughs, yeah. and when it doesn't, it pisses you off, and maybe someone else's gets the nod, and you're like going, that wasn't very funny. I would go in and fight a lot for stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. If I believed in it, and I wasn't always right, believe
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
And sometimes I was right. You know,
yeah.
sometimes I would, you know, I'd get to produce something and it was like, oh, I guess that was stupid. I guess I shouldn't have been able to allow to do that. But then other times it was, you know, it was like, hey, that turned out pretty good.
Right.
So
right.
we had a lot of creative freedom, and that's what I dig. That's always what's most important, is that the creative freedom, because I don't think I could do well in a position, in a plate like SNL would probably just, it would chew me up and spit me out. I wouldn't,
right,
be, able, I
right.
wouldn't be able to do it. I don't have
well,
the,
it's so competitive.
Yeah. I don't think I have the,
yeah.
as they say, the balls for that.
I would
have the balls
agree.
For Almost Live. Yeah,
yeah,
you would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nancy Guppy.
Not the
you
balls.
You heard it here first,
yeah,
people.
Right.
Nancy Guppy does not have balls.
No.
All right. So how did things kind of come to an end with Almost Live? What was the reason that it got canceled?
I'm still trying to figure that one out. I mean, you know, I think we were all, most of us,
yeah,
were really like, I was ready for it to end. I should have left probably a year before.
Yeah.
Only because I had nothing else to say. I had nothing else to say anymore, you know?
Yeah.
It's a very specific kind of, like any creative endeavor, you have to change. And really the dream, I think, of John originally was that, you know, the show would continue and new people would be brought in, but that
right,
just didn't
right.
really happen for whatever reason. But then what happened was, I think that there was new ownership. Let me see. Yeah, it got bought by Providence, Rhode Island, or BLO out of Texas, or whatever. The station did King.
Right.
And they just didn't have the commitment to local... to the local production. They didn't really get it. So the show still did well and sold well and all
mm-hmm.
that. But I think somehow there was a conversation, and I'll never quite understand it, where they got the idea that we were all just fine if it kind of went away. And I honestly don't know how that happened.
Right.
But it did happen. And
did
so,
John Curley have anything to do with that? I heard...
yeah,
I heard
he, like, yeah, he torpedoed us. No,
yeah.
I don't think so. Well, you know. Maybe, but I don't think so. What'd you hear?
Well, I had heard that there was
he has balls.
some sort of meeting, and he was joking when he said, "Well, why don't we cancel Almost Live?" Because they were looking to, I don't know, save some money or
well,
something like that. I don't know.
I wouldn't be sure. Why not?
Yeah,
let's start that. Yeah, that's what.
Yeah.
Yes, John Curley said that. I have it in my diary. May.
I don't even know
13th.
Where I heard that from, and
yeah, I don't,
when
1980,
I heard it.
And,
yeah.
1999. I don't know. I don't know. You know. Yeah. I think if we had all just flipped out, but we didn't.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I think people were kind of getting older and tireder, and it's like,
right,
eh.
right.
So
everybody was kind of ready for it to.
Yeah. But it's always painful. I mean, luckily
to move
it was.
On.
Yeah. I think in John, this is why I think you have him on to chat with him, because.
Yeah.
He's told me he just thought, you know, that he'd be able to walk in anywhere and just write his own ticket. And it was
yeah.
it was a tough road. It was
yeah.
a really tough road.
Yeah.
I mean, for him, he was the most, you know, the most obvious, what am I trying to say, the biggest bird in the tree? I don't
the
know.
The biggest star on the show or something?
That's
or,
there.
Yeah.
There would be the little yeah. sentence I'm looking for rather than the bird in the tree. That was odd. It's the vodka.
It's the pint of vodka.
It's the pint of vodka. Cheap crap vodka. But, you know, it was for him to go from like he's all that, you
right,
know,
right.
to in locally to like, oh, okay, what am I going to
yeah.
do now? So, yeah.
yeah.
But everyone, we definitely have good vibes and I adore
well, what
all
was
of
it,
my cast.
What was it like for, what was it like for you when you left?
I felt great about it.
Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah. I think what was
you have the same experience that Keister did, where it was hard to find something else. Or
well, no, I didn't. And I'm trying to remember. I don't remember what I started doing first, but I started developing other interests when we were still on the air. I was
right,
doing
right
because Kong King had just purchased Kong or got a hold of Kong TV, which is Channel 16.
Yeah.
So I had been doing little things for them, kind of hosting old weird movies and stuff as myself, right?
Yeah.
On air. And so like a kind of like a, well, and coming up next, blah, blah, blah. So I was doing that a little bit. So I was kind of, almost without knowing what I was doing, I was starting to develop this other...
You're already making the shift.
I was making some sort of shift. I was ready. What it was going to be, I didn't know.
Right.
So so for me, no, I never missed it. But I definitely realized as time went on, like, wow, what a gift that was to be able to do what we did and have it go as well as it did.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Even like one of my stock things to people is, even if you didn't love the show, and believe me, there was plenty of folks who didn't love it, it was a great thing. It was a great thing for the community, as we were talking about earlier. Really, it's nice to have something that's so known by the people that live in the area.
Yeah, every native Seattleite knows Almost Live and can probably recite some sort of skit.
Right, somehow they're going to go, they're going to know Ballard Driving Academy or whatever it is. So, yeah, it was a dreamy job, and I'm and it's the gift that keeps on giving because it continues to rerun. And we don't get money for that because we were employees. People all the time are saying,
"Well, yeah, it's back on the air now.
It's been on the it never went off. It's never
gone. Really?
Never. It's been on. I never see
it. I thought they took it off because now it's on like
after SNL, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's been on. It's been on endlessly. It never stopped.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Oh wow.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
So it's pure profit for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally.
Yep.
And so now you host a show called Art Zone.
I do, and this is a show that's all about the local art scene. We've had Macklemore on to perform.
Son of a bitch.
I know. That's why we're gonna have to talk to him. And Ryan Lewis is a DJ producer guy. He's great.
Right.
He's so great. They're both lovely people. So I've been doing this for 3 years, and it's a weekly half hour. It airs on Channel 9 PBS and on Channel 21. We produce it through Channel 21, and it's just all about what's happening in Seattle, local art scene. So, we just did a.
And so when. Did somebody come to you and say, "Hey, do you want to do this?" Or was this your
idea? No, the guy that used to be the station manager, he's retired now, but he used to be at Channel 9, then he moved to Channel 21, which is the Seattle channel.
Right.
His name is Gary Gibson, and he and I had a long-term professional relationship, and when he went there, we had talked for a while about doing art stuff. So I developed a 5-minute art show called City of Go-Go. And it's basically what Art Zone is, but it was a 5-minute thing, right?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Okay, so I did tiny little profiles, like minute and a half profiles, and a little tiny calendar of events. And so we started doing that. And then that just kind of morphed into what it became, which is this weekly half hour.
Right, And so, it's a great show, too.
It's very fun.
So this is kind of... coming all back to the beginning of this show here.
Yeah.
Because we have had a lot of crossover.
Yeah.
Let's see. Star Anna and the Laughing Dogs you've had on.
Love
this Queen.
Them. We just did a profile on Rachel. Man, it just aired last night. It's unbelievable.
She is pretty amazing.
Are you in love? Everyone's in love with her.
Yeah, yeah.
I love her.
She is a lovely person.
She is funny, and what a talent.
Just a total sweetheart.
Yeah,
too,
she is.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you just had Shelby Earle on. We just had Shelby Earle on this show. Another sweetheart.
Another great talent.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And there is a lot of, it seems like, the music scene is once again blossoming into something here in Seattle.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
I know. And a lot of different little pockets. There's a really hot jazz scene. There's Cornish College is cranking out all sorts of great performers.
Right,
a lot of musicians. You know, of course, hip-hop is...
Yeah, hip-hop's doing... It's definitely hip-hopping around.
Yes, it is. Yes, the hip-hop.
Yeah, yeah. And then also kind of the comedy scene is starting to come back a little bit. That's been a little bit slower, I think.
Yeah. Have you had Emma Montgomery on?
No, but we're planning on having Kevin Hyder on, I think, next week. So.
Well, isn't that interesting? Because we're having him on Art Zone next week.
Oh, you're shitting me.
No.
Are you serious?
Well, no, I am. We are.
God.
Are you mad?
No, now I'm...
Well, that's good.
I'm going to go into my bedroom and start hitting my mattress with my pillow.
Wow. See? The anger... Now what's talking? Is this the, is this just the anger issues, or is this is, the vodka and the
this
anger
is
and the
vodka
hangover?
And it's all three
right.
rolled into one.
Well, but you're right. The comedy scene, and you got to have Emmett on. That guy... I'll send you the link to the profile.
I've seen that one. Oh, I've seen that one. Yeah, it was great.
He is so funny.
Yeah.
And it's so odd. I love his oddness.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just this weird... pacing that is wonderful, like
right,
jokes
right.
that are non-jokes. Like,
well,
no,
and he would
great.
He would they used to do that thing. God, I think I'm pretty sure he was a part of the Seattle semi-pro wrestling.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think he was, or
that
maybe
makes
it
sense.
Was maybe it was this program called Get Loaded that they used to do at Rebar. Some friends of ours used to put on at Rebar, uh-huh. and he was. Emmett Montgomery would always be kind of the variety show host.
Yeah, that makes
you know?
Perfect
and
sense.
And so, yeah, it was always so awkward. And sometimes,
yes.
you know, sometimes the jokes would not land at
oh,
all.
Right.
But he
really
would just
bad.
Keep it going.
Yep.
You
yep.
know? And
commitment.
He just like, how do you do that? Like, I would never, I don't think I would ever be able to do like a stand-up comedy or anything
no
like
way.
That. Have you done,
no,
have you done any
I
of that?
I have no interest in that. No interest in that.
Yeah.
No. I've done a lot of emceeing of things.
Yeah, yeah. Is
and,
it
and
is
you can
it
be
frightening?
Comedic.
Do you still get frightened
no,
when you go up on stage
I
and
don't.
Do stuff like that?
No, because I'm prepared usually. I mean,
right,
I mean
right.
my energy pops up, of course. I mean,
yeah, yeah.
You're some sort of fear thing gets going. But
yeah.
I've done it enough for, you know what I mean? You've done this enough. You know how to do it. You never know how it's going to go exactly.
Right,
but
right.
But that's one thing. But yeah. stand-up, I mean, to me it's kind of like, okay, prove it. That's what the audience... And I would just...
right,
I mean, it
yeah.
just looks horrifying to me. Horrifying.
I would
not be good at it.
Oh, God. I'd
and
die.
I can't remember
I'd
jokes anyway.
There. Right,
I can
right.
never... I'll tell, start telling someone a joke. It can be my family. And it's like I realize they have an eager look like, uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
And I realize,
where's the punchline?
I'm halfway through and like, I can't remember it. And now, that oh, I get... And then I'll go like,
there
oh,
was something
it's something
about a cat
yeah,
in there.
Right. And then there's just kind of like this dynamite. It's like, although I've got, okay, can I do have a joke.
Okay,
but
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not
let's
mine.
Hear
it's,
let's hear it.
Do you remember Drake Sather? He died.
No.
He was a, that's the joke. No. Drake is, was a fabulous.
It's a good one.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's black humor. Drake was really a great comedian, and he went down to L.A. and had a great writing career. He wrote for the uh-huh. Larry Sanders Show and all this stuff, but
oh, okay.
he ended up getting into a lot of bad stuff, and it was
right,
a sad
right.
end. But here's, okay, here's one of his jokes. Okay, so I'm going to do his voice.
Okay.
All right, so I'm doing this benefit for the Ronald McDonald House, and we're raising thousands and thousands of dollars. And I'm thinking to myself, how big a house does this fucking clown need? I love that joke.
That is good.
That's a good
that
joke.
That is really good.
Isn't that a good one?
Yeah, yeah. I like that.
I have another one, but I can't remember it. It's another
yeah.
Drake Sather.
There's a cat in it and
there's
a stick
cat.
Of dynamite.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah. Somehow yeah. they... intertwine
yeah, yeah.
somewhere at the
but
end.
But no one dies.
Yeah.
No one dies.
Right, right. So do you guys, so because you do have a lot of musicians on your show now,
yeah.
On Art Zone, like we do here at the Air Raid podcast.
Yes.
Have you ever run into a band that was just not talkative?
Oh, like, yes.
Isn't that the, that's... That's
well, for you,
worst.
It's different because you're doing a longer talk with them, right?
Mine, well, right. Mine's an hour. So it's like, you know,
yeah,
of just sitting here bullshitting with
right.
people.
That and if now, let me ask you this, and then I'll tell you
it
my
can
experiences.
Get tough.
But is it because they're being cool, or is it because that's who they are? What's your sense?
I've definitely gotten the sense that some of them really love the smell of their own farts.
I like mine.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm friendly.
Right.
My farts are friendly.
Yeah, but you don't do it in public, right?
Not public, meaning here? Is this public? Because I don't...
Well,
this
no,
doesn't seem public.
This is more private.
No, you're
you can,
right. Okay,
you
I'll, I don't do it. Okay.
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 yeah.
Wait.
No, but
wait,
some
stop.
Of us...
Shh, shh. Okay, I just...
oh, she's smelling it. No.
God,
yeah,
that's so
some...
gross. Everyone in Europe hates me right now. anyway, so but some so, people
yeah,
are,
some
yeah.
people definitely have the cool thing going on, which is definitely kind of coming back here in Seattle. A
boring,
little bit, I gotta
it's,
say,
it's boring.
Yes,
isn't it?
It is.
And what
it
I mean,
is.
yeah, yeah. So
it's like you can carry on a conversation with somebody and still be cool, dude.
Oh, totally. You know? And in fact, I found like so there's people like my God, the guy with the head like a kite guy. What's his first name?
Dave?
Yes. Einmo, I think. Do you know? Yeah, I think he is so nice.
Yeah.
He's so nice. He's so funny, and he's this Grooster rock star dude.
Yeah.
So when we had him on, I loved him because he's just like, you know,
right.
Really, really fun.
Very talkative.
Yeah. And when it's a little different on TV. There's a couple things going on. I think.
Yeah.
The camera is intimidating.
First of all, you got to watch your language.
Right. And people get a little bit nervous with a camera. It's
right,
a different
right,
thing than
yeah.
just to having a microphone,
right?
But my deal always is I try to level the playing field immediately.
Right.
I'm very irreverent, but I'm also respectful, but irreverent. I get really close to people. Mm-hmm. I touch them. I don't mean inappropriately.
Yeah,
but I mean, like, I just make it like I do everything possible to... I'm always going to be the jerk or the jester, the goofball, the idiot.
Yeah.
And so I tried. Sorry, I just hit the.
Come on.
I'm sorry. I've never done this before.
But you're a professional.
No, I'm not. No, you thought wrong. So my thing is just like I want to make them feel like they're just is warm and generous and easygoing. Now, if they still aren't going to talk, they're not going to talk. And
I
can figure my way around that.
Yeah.
But I don't have an hour to deal with them. I would not dig that.
Yeah.
I would not dig that at all. Like, if you're going to come on and talk, if you're going to come on and be interviewed,
yeah,
come on and get ready to share.
Yeah.
Be available. What else is there? One of my mottos. Here's one of my mottos. Everybody shits. We're all going to die. Get over yourself. And that's to myself and to everyone else. You know
that's
what I'm
good.
Saying?
That's
yeah.
good.
It's like, hey,
yeah.
it doesn't matter that much. We're here for a very short period of time. So be generous and kind and loving and just kind of embrace and say yes to what's happening.
Thank you.
It's a big deal.
That's wonderful.
Always.
That's
yeah.
wonderful. I think that's a great
button
way to end the show.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
Sometimes I forget what words are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Nancy, so much for coming on the show.
It was my pleasure.
And
thank you for asking me.
Of course. And hopefully sometime in the future, maybe we can get you back on and
anytime.
Just bullshit
totally
some more.
Totally anytime.
Yeah.
Let's do the interview later so we can really start drinking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. I'm coming across like is such a lushy. What
a lushy?
A lushy. What were you going to ask? You were going to ask me something.
Oh, what was...
When can the show air?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking me?
When is where
can
we find
plug-ola?
Your show?
Yes. Okay, so Art
plug
Zone with Nancy Guppy. Here you go. www, that's the World Wide Web, seattlechannel.org/ArtZone. And you can go to our Facebook page, which is Art Zone with Nancy Guppy.
Yeah.
And we're on Fridays at 8 on Channel 21 and with millions of reruns. And then we're on Channel 9 Fridays at 11 or 11:30, depends on what's airing. So,
excellent.
We're around.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you once again for coming on.
Oh, it was lovely to be here. Thank you. You're good.
Thanks. We're going to go out today.
In a slow sort of way.
In my
slow way.
Oh, man.
Oh.
We're going to go out today because we are featuring music from Mr. Macklemore. We're going to go out today with the song And We Danced. And we will be back next week with hopefully Kevin Hyder. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're good.
And if he's not too busy being on Nancy's show,
I'll tell him to do it.
All right. We're gonna leave you here with And We Danced, and we will see you next week.
Tonight, 'cause the night's am I right? Dance. Feels like a night for a party. My nature, so naughty. It's a knock on the door, it's the neighbors. Quick cock blocking, we're having a hoedown. You hose down, don't let me pull my hose out. 'Cause it's big, long, pink, strong. I've been known to dance like all night long. Grab my hand, play this song. DJ, save my life, come on. Leave your fear, back off the wall. Free your beat and pussy pop. If you don't have a pussy, pop a cock into a boot tie. To a boot time, yeah, yeah. And we danced.